Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the book of Job, chapter 5, there's a couple verses there, verse 17 and 18. And, well, you could probably really include 19 also, but we'll probably just stick with 17 and 18. And it reads like this. I think what I'm going to do is I have the ESV here, but I'm going to read this first from the King James Version, all right? So if you don't understand all the old English, as we go on, I'll just be preaching in my everyday vernacular, so no problem. But it reads like this. It says, "Behold." In other words, pause, take notice, look. Look at this thing. He says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." Happy is the man who God correcteth. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and ask this question? Are you happy? Right? Because happy or blessed is the person that God corrects. So, you know, the question is God correcting you? If so, you're blessed. Okay? So, "Therefore, despisest not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and he bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven. There shall no evil touch thee." I'll talk a little bit about this. You know, as a kid, I'll just tell you, you know, I was a pretty nice kid. I wasn't tons of trouble for my parents, believe it or not. I was just pretty nice kid. I mean, did I get in trouble and did I do things wrong? Of course. I'm not here to tell you I was the perfect kid, never did anything wrong. But I'm just telling you, for the most part, I wasn't all that difficult to raise, okay? My parents would vouch for that, okay, if they were here. Well, my mom would. My dad would probably lie and make up things. But anyhow, just to give me a hard time. I remember as a kid, and you will too, and you'll know this now, those of you who are still young, even though you're not little children, you know, I still got corrected all the time. You did too. It's like, don't touch that. Don't go over there. Or go over there. Don't talk like that. We don't use words like that. Why don't you say this? Would you go help and, now that's not how we do that. You know, I learned at an early age when my parents would say to me this question that it really wasn't a question. It was more of a statement that had a question mark. You know, why did you do that? I learned that that was not really a question that they were really looking for an answer for. It's more of a statement of like, you're kidding me. You know better than that, right? So it was like, what did you do that for? I learned that you don't really answer that. You just, you know, stand there and take what's coming next. We just got corrected. We got instructed, and it's what we do. And as parents, we just do that with our kids. I mean, I find it challenging, but I remember this even as I grew up as an older teen, when my, you know, you start feeling like, hey, I'm 16. You don't have to treat me like a child, you know. Of course, at 16, sometimes you're acting like a child and sometimes you act like a man or woman, gender. You know, you just kind of bounce back and forth. It's just vacillating. It's up and down and, you know, you're making your way in life. But you're like, I already know that. You always tell me that. And that's why our children start to do this all the time. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. Because we're just keep giving them stuff, you know. As a young adult, I remember coming home from college, okay? Now, I was already on my own in college. I mean, I still came home periodically or on holidays, But, you know, I was 5.5 hours away. It wasn't just, you know, run home whenever I want. I didn't have a vehicle there. And so, you know, I'm surviving. I show up back home. You know, I didn't bring a bunch of laundry. I do laundry. I'm still alive. Therefore, I'm eating. You know, I mean, I'm okay. But as soon as I show up, even though I'm a young adult, my parents start in with the, oh, yeah, you're going to use the car. Now, remember, when you back out of the driveway, well, I'm just like, hey, you've been telling me that forever. I know. I haven't forgotten. I'm 21. Not like that's really old, but, you know, there's some things that you just don't need to tell me anymore. Okay? At least that's how you feel. But they, you know, they can't help themselves. You jump back into their life and they're parents and they're going to discipline you. They're going to teach you. I mean, you know, I did get grounded. All right? It happened. I wasn't actually at fault that one time, but I remember, you know, being a kid, my dad never spanked us. Okay? He did other things. Now, I don't want your mind to run wild like, oh, he was really vicious. Like, you know, he threw a noose over the beam and said, come here, kid. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was the look. It was the finger in the chest. Dad. Because when I was a kid growing up as a small kid, my dad wasn't a believer. I mean, he went to church, but he wasn't a believer. I mean, yeah, God's out there, but there was no personal interaction between him and Jesus. He wasn't the point of where salvation took hold in his life. And, you know, he was a tough guy. So, you know, there was some, I love you, Dad, and I would do anything, and I want to please you. And there was also this measure of fear, okay, and out of reverence and respect for him because, you know, he was a tough guy. So, yeah. You know, he didn't do a lot of hugging. You know, he didn't say, I love you. Those kind of things. I know some of you are thinking, gee, Pastor, you better get to a counselor. No. You know, there were other things he did. Now, my mom, he told her, now you can do the spanking because I don't want to hurt one of the kids. And I don't know if that was really the reason or if he just, you know, big, hard, tough guy just couldn't, I don't know. But so mom did the spanking. I got some. I remember when she stopped spanking me because I was in fifth grade. Dad was at work. I don't even remember what I did or something that, you know, I'm going to give you a spanking. And I went upstairs to my room and she followed me up. And I said, you're not spanking me. We're not doing spankings anymore. So I picked her up. Not like this. Picked her up. I'm in fifth grade. Hey, pick up my mom. You know, back then she was, you know, maybe 115 pounds. Now she's never mind. So, she might listen to this online. I'm kidding. I picked her up. I said, you're not spanking. I mean, you can, you know, ground me. Do it. You're not spanking me. You know. She wanted to discipline me, and I probably needed it, you know. So, and then, of course, this turned into a little bit of laughter, and I can't believe you did this. I'm going to tell your dad, and I know. So it kind of mellowed out a little bit, and nothing real serious happened. Though she did tell my dad. I don't think he admitted it, but I think he thought it was pretty clever. So anyhow, you know, so we get disciplined. We get told things. It's interesting, as we get older, less of that happens in our life. You ever notice that? I mean, as a kid, teacher's telling you what to do. The principal's telling you what to do. The principal's still telling you what to do. You're in his office. He's still telling you. You go somewhere else. You know, other people who aren't even related to you are telling you what to do, you know, because you're a kid. So everybody, you know, you're not giving orders. You're not disciplining anybody. You're just getting it all. And as we get older, we have less of that go on in our life. I'll just tell you, I don't have a lot of people in my life right now saying, you know, Randy, don't touch that. Well, once in a while Sue does because she makes something that's not for now. It's supposed to be for later. Or it's something in the fridge that is going to go with something else. And she's learned now to label that. Don't touch. Or this is for, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, once in a while I still get told that. But, you know, I don't have a lot of people, you know, telling me what to do and correcting me all the time. And I'm guessing as you as an adult, you don't have that a lot either. It kind of fades away. And it's not that we've gotten so smart or we've learned all that we can learn. You know, we just become adults and we start to function according to our way. What I think, what I feel like, what I want to make myself do, what I don't want to make myself do, what I don't really have to do, but I really should do, but I can think of a way around. You know, all of this, that we lose the voices of discipline in our own life. I mean, discipline always stings a little. It hurts. And I'm not suggesting to you that you have to be the Holy Spirit and run around now and correct everybody and give them direction and instruction. That is not our place. As a friend, sometimes there's a way we can do that. As a spouse, on a rare occasion, we should be able to do that. Now, we should be able to do it properly. We should be able to do it without offense. See, here's the catch. For us as Christians, when we read the scripture and we really know what it says, we know it's for us. It's instruction to us. It's correction to us. It's counsel to us. Our flesh doesn't like it. Or we think, it's not that important. Or it's not really one of the big sins. Or, you know, I probably won't miss heaven over this. You know, we go through whatever it is. Or say, well, this other one's really important. And that one I do, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. You know, we go through. Where do we get discipline? And so with the Lord sometimes, we work through it because we know that he is perfect. We can't tell him, oh, Lord, no, you don't understand. you can say that to him in your discussion, but it's kind of hard to tell God who always has been, is, always will be, and knows everything, to say, you don't understand. You know, we can't get away with that with him because he knows. And so getting instruction and discipline from him, we probably take a little easier. But when it's the voice of another person who we hear or see, we don't take it so well anymore. We think, well, who are they to tell me? Or we know something about them, and so we turn the table quick, and we're no longer talking about the real issue. Now we turn the table, and we talk about something they didn't do or something they did the other day. Oh, yeah, well, you know, and all of a sudden, this pride is at work, the arrogance is at work, there's no humility. I mean, this is going nowhere good really fast. See, the problem for you and I sometimes is hearing the voice of God in someone else's voice. I mean, we would all agree in here that God uses people, right? Right? He uses people. Listen, he used my dad before my dad was saved to speak God's counsel to me. An unsaved guy. That he used him to still speak God's instruction, correction, direction into my life. God uses people. But we find it difficult to hear his voice when it sounds like Gob. Or it sounds like your wife. And let's face it, humanity, we don't always portray it well. We don't always do it at the right time. We're not always sensitive in the way we say it. You know, and so all of that mixed together, we have a hard time taking it as God's voice to us in correction and discipline. I want to tell you that you and I want you to say this to the person next to you, look at them and just say, be humble. Turn around. She needs someone to tell her. You say, okay, tell somebody. Tell her. Come on, tell. Did you tell her back? Did you tell her to be humble? Did you tell her to be humble? I don't want anybody missed. You got, you three guys got it covered in the booth. Okay. Be humble. Randy, did anybody tell you? No? Tony, can you tell Randy to please be humble? And tell Tony she needs to be humble. Here's the deal. Be humble. Listen, they may not come. It may not come out right. They may say it with a little attitude. You may be already agitated with them. But you look at it like it's their voice and their message and their thing. But can you and I, for a moment, as adults, understand that we are not done being disciplined? And that the voice of the Lord, though it's coming through a person you recognize and it sounds like their voice, and maybe they're not doing it right, and maybe it's the wrong time, but is there something in there that God is bringing discipline to our life and we're rejecting it because we can't hear His voice in it? We choose not to, because who's telling us? And that becomes problematic for us. If God wants me to know, God will just tell me. Well, we're back to God uses people. Yeah, but He's going to use holy people, or He's going to people who, you know, maybe aren't completely holy, but, you know, they're called a pastor. Well, He'll tell us, or He'll tell me, and besides, He's telling everybody, and I can walk out anonymously, and if the Lord kind of convicts me or speaks to me about it, I can choose to explain it away or really respond to it in my life. I don't have to have this personal dialogue where now, you know, it's not a crowd, it's two people communicating. And it's problematic. Listen, we grew up with people telling us and disciplining us and correcting us and instructing us and all. And time goes on and there's a little bit less, and then there's time where we just get weary of it. You know, I'm 21, you don't have to tell me how to back out of the driveway. I've been doing it since I was 16. Okay? But parents are still going to be parents, you know? You've heard me talk about this before, and I don't want to, you know, exasperate you, but, you know, we still discipline and train our children. You know, Brittany's married, has her own family. There's moments I want to say something, but I got to, don't say nothing. It's not like she's doing things really wrong. It's just all of a sudden you want to step in like a dad and just say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there's times that I do that. You know, Jessica. I mean, her and Luke lived with us for, you know, a couple weeks. Then they went away, and then they came back and lived with us, and now they moved to Georgia. So Jessica, Luke, and their little baby Bear. I miss Bear. So anyhow, I'm just messing around. You know, you want to, you know, they're living with you, so, well, they're under my roof, so I'm going to call the shot. Well, they're adults. But you still, you want to say something, you know? Sydney, she was in town for a couple of days. She had to go to a dentist, get a referral, and she got to go to an oral surgeon and all of this. Anyhow, before she left to go back to the Twin Cities, I said, honey, why don't we get the oil changed in the car? Okay? She's there. I'm checking all the fluids. I want to make sure. I'm checking the tires. They need to be rolled. You know, you do all this stuff. And I looked at the oil, and, you know, it started to get a little dark. And I said, you know, let's go over and let's get that changed before you leave. And then so we did that, and I told her, now, tomorrow, I know you work, but sometime tomorrow, when you're back home and you're going to your job, would you check the oil in the car? I know it was just changed, honey, but Daddy always checks after it's changed, especially by someone else. I like to check it. I don't know if they put enough in. I don't know if it settles. I don't know what happens. I've had it after oil changes periodically where it's not down to the ad, but it's low. It's not full. And so I want to do that. So she said, okay, Dad. So the next night come, I sent her a text. I said, so is the oil level okay in your car? Love you. She texted back and said, Dad, I forgot. I said, okay, honey, because she's heard it all before. You know, I said, text me once you get a check. Well, the next day I got a text. Oil's fine. I said, honey, I'm proud of you. Way to go. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, now Brock probably has it the roughest because he's the only one still at home. He's a young adult, has his own vehicle, all of this. That, you know, and he probably has it the most challenging because he's still our kid. But he's a young adult. So, you know, the parent mode kicks in from time to time. And I know it exasperates him. I know it wears him out. I know he gets weary of it, you know. But, you know, it was like 4 days ago, roughly, I said, hey, have you checked the oil in your truck lately? He said, I checked it last week or something like that. It was a little ways away. And I said, hey, you know, he says, I'm going to the gas station now. I said, okay, go, yeah, check it. I saw him the next day. I said, hey, how'd it go at the gas station yesterday? Did you check your oil? Oh, I forgot, Dad. And I said, son, it's your truck. It's older. You got to keep this. You know, I go into the hold. Come on. And, of course, he's giving me the look that trying to be patient with Dad because he already knows. But I'm still going to, you know, be Dad and discipline him and, you know, try to, yay. I mean, discipline him. I'm trying to share with him and make him listen to me. That's the level of discipline. It wasn't like, okay, that's it, son. We got to go inside, and I'm going to spank you. You know, I mean, that, you know. So, you know, that's just not going to happen, you know. Not that I couldn't do it, mind you, but I, you know, so the problem would be catching him first. That would be the problem. So, come back here, you know, like, oh yeah, right, okay, so, next day goes by, and said, you know, you check your oil, Dad, you know, and you roll, it's like looking in the mirror of when I was his age, because every time I was about to walk out the door, my dad, one of two things, it was either, hey, use common sense, and out before I go out the door, or it was, hey, check the oil. It was one of those two things. You know, it's just like, yeah, I know. To the point where before I was heading down the hallway to the front door, I would now yell, I know, check the oil. And then he'd yell, ah, use common sense. And then I would, sometimes I'd be like, I know, use common sense. Hey, check the oil too. You know, I mean, there was just no, you know. But you have to understand, in my household, and this happened to me as a kid when I had my own car, you know, I looked and, ooh, the oil is really low. You know, I've seen this in my cars that they use, okay, not like my main car, but a car that we purchased for them to use and to take care of. Sorry, I'm keeping my teeth gripped because it still gets me in. So, you know, I know what it is to go out there and pull out the dipstick and the tip just has a little bit of oil on it. Oh, come here, your father would like to talk to you. Now, see, this is a motor, you know. You want to go, this needs oil. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, it needs oil. No, no, you have to check this. And you have to make sure that there's oil above ad. Below full. We learned that lesson too. One of my children said, it probably needs oil, and they dumped a bunch in. Pulled that dipstick out. It was oil up to, you know, 6 inches past the full mark, you know. That's not how we do it. It probably needs oil. You know, we don't do, you know, hey, that's not good for the motor either, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hey, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. I might as well go to the buffet now. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, this is my car. I can't just go to Walmart and spend $35 and buy a new motor and put it in. This blows up. You understand? You got no wheels. And it's my car. You know. So, you know, oil, dipstick, all the way down. This is the cap. This is where the oil goes. But the cap, you know, you go through everything. And I'm exaggerating here a little bit, but not completely. So, you know, now it's like, hey, Dad, you know, I can't blame him. But it's like looking in a mirror because I get it. That was me. We're not too old to be disciplined when it comes to the Lord. To be trained, to be reminded. You know, this scripture, and I know being corrected, it hurts us, it bothers us, it annoys us. Sometimes it offends us, or we feel like you're talking to me like I'm a little kid. I'm, you know, 32 years old. I've got my own family. You know, I get it. But if we would just be humble, I'll give you a little key to just be humble right now, because I want you to know, if all things being equal, in my life, what happened was there was role reversal. My dad now comes and visits me for a few hours, and I walk him and my mom out the door and into the driveway, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I love you. Now, on your way home, you know, do me a favor, check the oil." He smiled, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I said, "Hey, use common sense." You know, we kind of role reversal. We kind of joke about it now, but it's become something. At the time, the discipline of that, it just annoyed me. But now, I get it. It's that training. It's that discipline. We get hurt. We get offended by it. But I want you to, in Job here where I read, listen to this. It says, but you know, blessed or happy is the man that gets corrected. Therefore, don't despise the chastening. Don't despise it. I mean, God's not out to wear you out. But the other part is, if I knew he checked the oil all the time, or the girls would have checked the oil all the time, I wouldn't have been chastening them over it. So if I receive the discipline and train under righteousness, God's not going to talk to me about that stuff. He's going to talk to me about the additional growth and the other things I need to be disciplined about. See? And it offends us. It bothers us. And I feel bad about it. And I try to back off of this because my children are adults. And sometimes I fail at it. It's not that I can't tell them anything. It's not like they don't want me to tell them anything. It's just, you know. But I don't want to wear them out. But I want them to do what's right and what's best for them so that they can be happy. And that they can pass it on to my grandchildren so my grandchildren aren't blowing up motors in their car. Or spaceships, whatever they're driving at that, you know, by then. I don't know. You know, maybe they just are virtually going everywhere. I have no idea. But listen to this. It says, so don't despise it. God makes sore, but he bindeth up. In other words, the discipline that comes to us, it hurts. It bothers us. It stings. I mean, sometimes, you know, as a kid, I mean, it didn't take much. My dad could look at me, poke me in the chest, and I'm, you know, and he, at that point, it was like, you don't cry. And so I'm standing there, and my eyes couldn't be more filled with tears. And I'm just thinking, please don't trip and hurry up and get this over with so I can go cry. Because I was a nice, tender boy. Sensitive. But manly. You know, so, you know, because it hurt. You're frustrated. You feel like you don't have a chance to explain. And then when you do, it's, you know, I'm not right about it. And you got to do it. And, you know, all that stuff that we feel when we are wounded, sore, hurt from correction. But God doesn't just make us sore. It says he maketh sore and then he bindeth up. See, one thing about disciplining our children is, and I learned this from the Lord, and probably some from my parents, well, mostly from my mother, because, you know, my dad was not very compassionate in the younger years. Now, he cries over Hallmark movies. So, you know, it's the truth. I'm not exactly, you know, he's clued in to life. So, with all of our children, after we did the sore part, you don't just leave it. You come back because the Lord maketh sore, but then he bindeth up. So you come back and say, hey, listen, are you okay? I'll listen. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Okay? I love you. I'm not here to pick on you. I mean, I do pick on you, but, you know, I pick on everybody, including me. So, I mean, you know, but, you know, are you okay? It's going to be all right. I'm not as angry or mad as you may think it seemed. And if I need to apologize because I took it too far as maybe I didn't handle it right, it's been a long day or whatever it is, all the excuses we use, you just come back and you make it right. In the next verse, it's similar. It says that, you know, he wounds, but with his hand, he heals. If you've been around for a while, you may have heard me say this a couple times in the last 10.5 years. I wanted my children to know that the hands of their father, their daddy, is the hand that will spank them. I'm pausing there so that this younger generation can say, oh no, you haven't read the parenting books. I'm not into getting into argument with you, discussion. You raise your kids how you want. Okay, so anyhow, write me a note. All right. As long as it's not from your attorney, I'm good. Okay, so, you know, spank, grab them. Not like grab them and twist their arm. I mean, grab them so they don't go in traffic. Grab them and say, hey, you get back here. You're not getting away with that. That's not how we talk. Now, you're going to apologize. Sorry. I can't hear you. You know the routine, right? Hey, you just said that to say that. Now, mean it. You know, like they mean it. Well, they're crying and crabby and mad. How can they come up with, okay, let me shift gears. I'm sorry. You know, with these hands, they discovered that they will be disciplined, but with these same hands, they're going to be protected. With these same hands, they're going to be healed. With the same hands, it might make sore at a moment, but they're going to come and bind. They're the hands of safety. From the same hands come provision. You see, I wanted to know that all that comes from these hands, all of it, even the stuff that makes us sore and might wound, it's because there's love. And these hands you can count on to do what's right. Because God's hand came soreness, but it also brings healing. Our hands to our children, to disciplining one another. And God is still using it in our life. But as we get older, we feel like there's less voices and less disciplines and less things coming at us and less telling us what to do. And I understand that that is good. But when we become adults, we fall into this mentality that we can never be corrected or disciplined anymore. Unless we do something extreme, or we break the law, or we violate something extensively in a moral realm. It's like our spouse can't tell us, confront us, or discipline us. Because we just, we don't hear the voice of God in it. We just hear their voice and see them and remember all their mistakes and their flaws and what they've done to you. And all of a sudden, there's no righteous work of God in it. And so now we just don't even do it anymore. Unless you're married to somebody who's very oppressive and they're always telling you what to do and when to do it and how to do it and you did it wrong and blah, 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 then you might be having that happen to you. Just remember, you're the one who brought it home. So anyhow, you married it. So anyhow, okay, never mind. That's a whole nother sermon. I want to read this to you in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. It says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves." Okay? Discipline my kids because I loved them, not because I wanted to ruin their good time. Or not because my parents are mean to me, therefore I'm going to be mean to you. That's not how this works in Christendom. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises, listen, every son he receives. Now, I can't be disciplining the kid, three blocks down. It's not my son, not my daughter. Now, if it's a life-threatening thing, I understand we step in. But on a regular day-to-day basis, that's not my son. A loving father disciplines his son, daughter. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. So when he convicts us, when he gives something his word, when he uses someone else's voice, even though they kind of mess it up and don't say it nice and not at the right time, God's voice can be in it to discipline us. So be humble. Take what might be his voice in it. Leave the rest alone. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left, now catch this, if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The point is this, that if God loves us, he is going to discipline us. Now, if he doesn't discipline us, then that means that we are not legitimate children of his. Or if he disciplines us, and we refuse to listen, and we say no, and we just continue to carry on our life, even as we call ourselves Christian. There's an area where God's and we just say, you roll your eyes, you do what it's not that big, we go through whatever. Our pride is hurt, or we just don't want to give it up, or we don't want to surrender, or whatever it is. I don't want to get fanatical. And we remove ourselves from his discipline. Understand that we remove ourselves from legitimate sonship. Because he disciplines those he loves, right? And if we don't walk in that discipline on a regular basis with him, either he's not loving us, or we remove ourselves from it and we're saying, I don't want to be your son. I'm not going to live by your rules. It's where our kids have come up with, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can move out. Basically, I don't want to be your child and live under your rules and under your leadership or under your love. And we remove ourselves from being his legitimate children. There's a danger in that. You, if you believe in him and you call him, he is your father. He, through Jesus Christ, you have become sons and daughters of God, legitimate children. If we reject his discipline, then we are rejecting being his child. And I don't care how old we are. God is older. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to close with this. Verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or get weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. I love when I say to my son, did you check the oil? And he says, yes, I did yesterday, and I added what needed to be added. I do. I want, son, come here. He's like, would you get out of here? All I did was, I said, son, come here. Come here. I just want to hug him, say I'm proud of you. It drives him crazy. Not because he doesn't want to hug me. It's just like, oh, whatever, dad. No, man, I just delight in that. He's being disciplined, and he's doing it, and he's doing the right thing. He's doing the right. Brock, come here. He's like, whatever. I can show up at home, and he cleaned the dog kennel, and he did the stuff on his own initiative because he's been trained and disciplined and harped on for some time. And I say, son, you did. Come here. I do. I still do it. Tell my daughters, they do something they've been trained or disciplined, or they. It's a delight. Money can't buy it. Now, put that into context with your Heavenly Father. If I could put it in cheesy terms, I would put it like this. You and I are not too old to get spanked. To be disciplined, to be grounded, because he loves us. And if you and I remove ourselves from discipline, we will limit our growth, our faith, and our influence upon those we're trying to plant seeds in so that they would be a fruit of righteousness. Would you stand up with me, please? Brendan, do you, I don't know this, but do your, one of your parents or both your parents get on you about cleaning up your room or no? Yes, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just kind of, you know, maybe the Lord's just leading this conversation. Does it bother you when they get on you sometimes? Would you clean your room? Does it bother you? I mean, it's okay to just admit it. Be honest.
It does. Yeah.
It does. It bothers you? Do you want to know how to eliminate that? What? Clean your room probably?
Yeah.
Be a little more confident about what you're saying.
Yeah.
What is it?
Clean my room.
Clean your room. Clean your room. And she would go, son. That's how you can eliminate the weariness of them constantly being on you, is do it. The Holy Spirit is going to keep, you know, with us because he loves us. And he's saying, would you change us? Would you do? No, no, no. Don't have that attitude. Now you need to, you know, whatever it is, he's disciplining us. And it hurts our flesh because we just want to, And then it's like, oh, would you quit? Oh, would you leave me alone? Would you bother? You know, no. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit will not bother your flesh if you live according to the Spirit. Clean your room. Because then they will move on to the next thing. You shouldn't be going out with girls like that. You stop, don't look at her. Now that's, she's not for you. She's not a believer. Now would you, hey, talk to your boy. Well, son, you know, mom's right. You gotta, so, you know. So tell me, what does she really look like, son? Oh, no, wait, I gotta stick on track, you know, with my, yeah, quit, you know, don't be with girls like, you know. You gotta discipline, you gotta train. And then when you bring one home that you really like one day, and it's right, mom's going to look at you and go, she's too good for you. So you better take her. You better marry her. See? Be humble. Hear the voice of the Lord, not only just from him, not only just from his written word, but hear his voice when it sounds like your friend's voice, your spouse's voice. Don't turn the tables and make this about them all of a sudden. No, no. Be humble. That'll bring about the righteous acts that God desires. You are not too old to be disciplined. And it's a sad thing for us as adults to come to a place of life where we don't have the voice of discipline and instruction and counsel. And terrible place to be. We will remove ourselves from being legitimate children of the Father. So let him discipline you. Ask for it. Long for it. You're like, what, are you crazy? Yes, but that's beside the point. You want to be a pleasing child, a father.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.